This is Peter Aud, reporting for The Space Show, and I'm pleased to introduce our special guest, Robert Brand, who is with Team Stellar. Robert, what do you do with Team Stellar, and what is Team Stellar?
Well, Team Stellar is a company that wants to basically address asteroid mining or any other mission, say, to the Moon or to Mars, it doesn't matter, and to assist wherever possible. And along the way, we're looking to actually pick up the Google Lunar X Prize, so this is a stepping stone for us, but it's our current focus, of course, because we have 2 years to complete that. My title is Director of Spacecraft Communications, Navigation and Data. So although navigation and communications sound a little bit different, there's a lot of tracking and thus bearings and directions that you get from the dishes that'll be tracking the spacecraft. So they go hand in hand. So I've had to pick up a lot of extra knowledge on navigation that I didn't have. My background is actually comms and radio systems and space tracking. I've had a little bit of experience with in the past.
Right. So Team Stellar is a group of people spread around the world, I take it. And just tell us a little bit about the Google X Prize, what it is, how do you get it, who's involved?
You get it by joining Team Stellar. we're hopeful that we'll have a good chance of taking it out. Basically, Team Stellar is a group of people based mainly around Croatia and the US and Australia. In fact, we've had to be careful to limit the number of countries involved because each country has its rules about space and they then impact on all of us. So if one of us is doing something to do with navigation, then there may be rules that stop what they're doing from actually being exported because of, say, the country's defence policies. So we've currently put a halt on getting any new nations involved, and we're looking to basically understand the laws a lot better. The Google Lunar X Prize is a $20 million prize for the first person to get a rover to the Moon or something of that nature so that you can travel about half a kilometre around your landing site and bring back high definition video for about 500 metres. And so you must have a lander and a rover and either build your own rocket or buy a rocket or whatever. You can buy the whole lot if you want, but if you're spending more than $20 million for a prize that's worth about $20 million, then you've got a problem. But there are other awards, such as surviving a lunar night or getting pictures of an historic site and so on, such as a Russian or a US landing site. And I would be so pleased for it to be an Apollo site because I'm so tired of having all these people saying we never went to the Moon when I was so involved with it and I know that we went. In fact, I've just spent the day with some of the people from Honeysuckle Creek and went out to the old Honeysuckle Creek tracking station. And, you know, I know all this stuff happened. We didn't put all that stuff together just to fake a moon landing.
So you mentioned that the prize is $20 million. Assuming you get there first, will it cover your costs? And obviously you're having to invest prior to doing the mission. Can you tell us how you're doing that? Is the company a profit-making company, or will it be?
Well, it is, but we've taken the steps of getting sponsors for this moon mission. Of course, there'd be a lot of countries that would like to be to benefit by association with what we're doing and actually benefit from learning more about space. So we're expecting we'll have some sponsors. We already have a few that will just want their flag on the moon or want something done in their country, such as a space mission control centre. So we're building two of them at the moment, one in Croatia and one in Sydney. And there could be a third one. The idea, of course, is to have the operation by time of day so that we don't have people in the middle of the night having to work. That they'll be there, but as backup should we have a failure of one of our mission control centres. So we're very strong on backup and support. But as far as operational decisions, it'll be by the daytime staff.
So for someone to go ahead and launch a mission like this, I mean, is there some authority, some government regulations that you have to go through for security, for safety, for who? Can you do anything you want once you get in the moon? What's the arrangement there? What do you have to do?
Well, each country does have its requirements, and especially the country we launch from. But once we're in space, we'll have to make sure that our transmissions are governed by the ITU, the International Telecommunications Union. We have to stick to the bands that we've agreed to and we're licensed to transmit on, both here on Earth and from the spacecraft, because each dish that we have will have to be able to talk both ways to the spacecraft, listen and receive. So we will have three countries to organise and tick the box with for comms, and then the ITU will be doing the spacecraft side of things. And should things fail, we have backups and other bands and so on that we have to also take into account. So we're looking to have some big dishes, 30 metres, and some smaller dishes between 5 and 10 metres, and thus we need full tracking on them. So it's going to be quite an exercise on the comms side. Then we have to link all those up. That's the data side, and link up the mission control centres. Luckily, I don't have to actually build the mission control centres. That's another team. But the navigation then is the other side of it. Once the spacecraft's flying, we have to actually work out how to get to exactly where we're headed. So I can tell you, we've actually chosen a site. I can't tell you anything more about it. So now the operation is to ensure that we're very accurate as we leave Earth. And when you leave Earth, you leave about 30 degrees in advance of where the moon is. And it's a big elliptical orbit to get to where the moon will be in about 3 or so days' time. And then you've got to actually make sure you are right on target for your little part of the moon. You can't, if we were going to land 2 kilometres away from a site, then it's got to be accurate. You can't land closer. We've got to make sure that where we land is very precise, very precise. Otherwise, to get to the site just is going to take that much longer. But then you've got to worry about whether your radio links will work between your rover and your spacecraft, and then your spacecraft's got to relay that back. But we are hoping for some possible direct contact with the rover if we absolutely need it. If we lose contact with the lander, we've got to be able to tell the rover to back out of there and get back in coverage.
So can you tell us any detail about the mission profile, what rocket you're going to be launched on, whether you're going to orbit first before you go to the moon, whether you're going to go into lunar orbit, all that sort of stuff, or is that TBA or TBD?
Oh, some of it I can tell you now. No, I can't tell you where we're headed. I can't tell you what rocket we're using. That's very much covered by our NDA with all of our people. We don't want the other teams to get a leap on us by saying, hey, that's a good idea. We, as I said, we have chosen a historic site, and as part of that, we've also been working to make sure that we don't damage that site. So we will be using things such as radar to measure how far away we are from the moon as we close in. We will be using LADAR, which is a photographic system, to make sure that we land safely and land roughly where we're meant to land. Of course, the system will be able to make decisions about whether there's boulders in front of us and, you know, do a Neil Armstrong and leap over them with a single bound. We are hoping to get close enough that the rover will work and not have too much trouble with the lunar regolith, because, seriously, I am concerned that we may not even make 500 metres with the stuff getting into bearings. I mean, it's just a nightmare substance for anything mechanical. And we're trying to see if we have alternatives to keep the rover moving, even if the wheels fail. But, you know, that's, again, something we're working on. We also have, we're looking at using a rather unique GPS system that we're working on right now to actually plot our course very precisely as we leave Earth, which hasn't particularly been employed in a working spacecraft. It's been tested and we know it should work, but no one's actually deployed it. So that'll be one of our systems for working out where we're going, and that should be good to about 80,000 kilometres away from the Earth's surface. So we'll have a good bearing as we leave, and we should actually have good bearing with another system that we're actually creating for navigation. I can't tell you much about it, but it'll give us very precise readings on our approach to the moon, our distance and speed, and bearing from our site. So we should be able to make very accurate corrections as we get towards the moon. And the middle part of that will have a regular off-the-shelf tracking system, which will give us a good idea of where we are. Combine that with the dishes and being able to point and say, well, it's along that path, that line of sight path to the space, that's where the spacecraft is, you'll know exactly where it is at all times. So three systems, and one for leaving, one for and two for getting there and landing. So it's interesting times. My role will stop the moment we fire the last rockets to make the descent. We may fire them to slow us down and then we'll do some more navigation. But the moment those last rockets are fired, we'll probably jettison the weight of the navigation systems and then land so that we don't have to expend as much fuel.
Well, thanks for joining us on the Space Show, Robert. Hopefully we can have you back and maybe give us a progress report. How are you going? If people want to find out more about Team Stellar, is there a website or somewhere they can go?
TeamStellar.org.
Terrific. All right, we'll have a look at that, and we'll maybe have you back in a couple of months and see how you're going.
Well, you'll have to come up for the mission control to the Mission Control Centre for the launch and the landing.
I'm there. Thanks. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.